Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the third chapter of Matthew, verses 13 and 15. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized of him. But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him.
Morning again. Great to again be up in front of you. I want to welcome our guest and let you know we are just tickled pink to have you with us. I know several of you are local and belong to other church families, and we have several who are local who might not belong to any church family. We want to welcome you to be a part of ours. We are always excited to have new blood, new faces, new hands to set to the work, because that's what we're doing as a family of God here, is working. We want to get the gospel out. We want to teach people what it means to be saved, what it means to have your sins washed away. And, of course, we want that opportunity to share that message with you if that's what you need, or even just share the invitation to be a part of a family here. We are always, again, excited to have guests with us. Thank you for being here. I do have a couple of organizational announcements to give real quick before jump into the sermon. One is that the deacons are meeting after services. They will be meeting in classroom 106, which is what used to be known as classroom 2. The elders will be using classroom 102 here in the front. And the mothers of the seniors are asked to meet upstairs. So those are my three organizational announcements: deacons, elders, and mothers of seniors. You know where you go, so make sure you go there after services. Today, the sermon here that we're about to get into is going to be a little bit different than the sermon we had earlier this morning. Because my goal is, my hope is, in getting into this sermon is to help you see something a little bit different than possibly you have seen it before. There are certain presuppositions we approach Scripture with, or certain ideas that we understand before we even open the Scriptures. And because we have certain understandings before we ever even start reading the Word of God, those understandings lead us certain directions as we draw conclusions. I think the story of Jesus' baptism is one of those stories that has been affected by our previous understandings. And I want to dig deeply, at least as deeply as we can go in the short amount of time we have, into that story and talk about what it was that Jesus did in the water. Real quickly, let's read through those three accounts, or really just four accounts. Well, I want to read through the three synoptic accounts, synoptic meaning Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's start with Mark chapter 1, and there's just a little three-verse story of Jesus being baptized. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." Flip over to Luke chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 21 and 22. Luke 3, 21 and 22. "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" Now, turn back with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, and this telling of Jesus' baptism is a little bit longer. We'll read verse 13 through 17. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me?" But Jesus, answering, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." If we're trying to wrap up that story, and you kind of add those stories together, as we commonly do with gospel stories, you get several details. Jesus goes to John. Jesus wants to be baptized by John, because that's the work that John has busied himself doing, baptizing, as we find from Matthew, a baptism of repentance. John says, "No, Lord, I need to be baptized by you." Jesus says, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And so John does baptize Jesus. After Jesus comes up out of the water, you have the Holy Spirit coming down out of an opened heaven, apparently looking somewhat like a dove, and God speaks from heaven and says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." You hear that story, which is a story probably most all of us are familiar with, and you draw certain conclusions about why Jesus went to John, why John said what he did in asking that Jesus be the one to do the baptizing, why Jesus responded the way he did, and so on and so like. But I'm not sure that always our conclusions that we draw about this story are right. And the reason I come to that is because of John chapter 1. So turn with me to John chapter 1, and we're going to read starting in verse 19. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting in verse 19. This is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He said, "No." And then they said to him, "Who are you?" "So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourselves?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered and said, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, this part of the story sounds so familiar because it matches very closely to what we read of in Matthew. And so we tend to think, okay, these stories just go hand in hand. They match up just perfectly. And so all of our conclusions that we've already drawn as we read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they must be true about the story in John also. But read on with me, starting in verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.'" Now, pay really close attention here. "I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." John testified, saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him." So, let me stop there. He's saying, I have already seen the Spirit descend from heaven and rest on Jesus. He is recounting something that has already happened. He is looking back on something that happened a few days, a few weeks, maybe even a few months before this point. He's retelling the story. Verse 33. I did not recognize him, but God who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. See, the problem I run into is whenever I studied or read about or thought about the baptism of Jesus, I always assume that the reason John decided he should not be baptizing Jesus, but that Jesus should be baptizing him, is because Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Therefore, Jesus was more worthy. And so John was seeking to be baptized by Jesus. According to John chapter 1, I've been wrong. Because what John says in John chapter 1 is, when Jesus came to me, I did not recognize him. I did not know who he was. I don't think that means he didn't know he was Jesus. It means he didn't know he was the Christ. Because God had prophesied to John before John went out baptizing people that God was going to reveal who the Messiah was through baptism. And that John was going to baptize people, and as he did so, there was going to one day be somebody that he baptizes, that God was going to open up the heavens and send down the Spirit, and that one whom the Spirit lands on, he is the Christ. That's how God revealed Jesus is the Christ to John. Up until that point, John didn't know. You see, John here is telling the story of something that already happened. He didn't know the role Jesus had. And the reason he was going around baptizing was not just because it was a baptism of repentance. That was the benefit that came to most people. He was baptizing because through baptism, Jesus would be revealed. The Messiah would be revealed. So your immediate questions that you might ask are, didn't John already know? I mean, I remember a story back in the Gospel of Luke where John, as a baby in utero, jumped around because Jesus showed up in utero. Y'all remember that story? So John must have known, right? Maybe. That's clearly not conclusive. Maybe it wouldn't Mary tell John about Jesus? Wouldn't Mary have told John's mother about Jesus, the miraculous circumstances of his birth? Well, John had miraculous circumstances of his birth. Why would they assume that Jesus was any more than what John was? I know that the angel came to Mary, and the angel told Mary that this Jesus, he was to be named Jesus, which means God saves, because he was going to save the people from their sin, that he was the promised one. But you have over in the Gospel of Luke, there in chapter 2, it says in verse 19, Mary treasured these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Some versions say Mary kept these things, that she kind of locked them away. Later, you have statements made, like in chapter 2, verse 40, the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Down in verse 52, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. But you have no record anywhere of Mary going around and proclaiming who Jesus was and what the angel had said to her and telling anybody and everybody exactly who God promised this Jesus was going to be. We might ask, didn't John know who the Messiah was if he admitted to the Jews that he himself was not the Messiah, that there was somebody else that was more worthy? But notice, John never identifies who it is. All John says is, there is one who is the Messiah. You know how he knew there was one who was the Messiah? Because he knew God promised he was going to baptize him. And so he had to be around. He had to be available. And so he had confidence in the promises of God. So then we're left with the question, well, why is it that John would have wanted Jesus to baptize him instead of John baptizing Jesus? Why is it that John felt it necessary to ask for baptism from Jesus instead of giving baptism to Jesus? Well, I think the answer is in the purpose of that baptism. You see, when Jesus came to John, John didn't want to baptize him, I think because he was better than John. That's what I mean by that. John baptized with a baptism of repentance. Meaning you get baptized because you want to turn away from sin. You want to turn away from a life to a better life. That was the purpose of his baptism. Now notice, it never said a baptism necessarily for remission of sins. It was a baptism for the repentance of sins. It was a personal changing that was involved in this baptism, not necessarily an efficacious cleansing from God. We also know from many other scriptures, and several of them are listed here on the screen. We don't have time to get into all of them. But we know that Jesus was sinless. Everybody agree with that? Has anybody in here ever seen a sinless person? Don't you think they'd be a bit different than you and me? Don't you think that would stand out? If somebody were truly that good, I mean, we as redeemed sinners are supposed to stand out from the world, right? Because of our holiness and because of whom God has called us to be. Could you imagine meeting somebody who stands out from even us because they're so perfect? And I'm not really saying necessarily good things about us. I'm saying that's how good Jesus was. Could you imagine meeting somebody, growing up with somebody? Because Jesus and John were cousins. And clearly Mary and John's mother, Elizabeth, were fairly close because Mary went and lived with them for 6 months while she was pregnant. Clearly, they had a relationship. Clearly, they had a support relationship in their family. I don't think it's far-fetched to understand that John and Jesus would have known each other as cousins. Could you imagine having a sinless cousin? And hearing from all his brothers and sisters that he never makes mistakes? That, you know, sometimes there's a sibling that thinks they're perfect, this one really is. Could you imagine how that would stand out? Even if you want to assume that this person is a sinner, if they're that good of a person, and you're teaching a baptism of repentance, don't you think the better person should be doing the baptizing? You see, I really think what we're dealing with here is that John's objection in this baptism scenario has less to do with the identity of Jesus. It has more to do with the character of Jesus. That what John is saying is, Jesus, no, Jesus, you're better than me. You don't need to change your life. If anything, I'm the one that needs to change their life. Lord, or Jesus, please baptize me. Let me be the one who changes. You're better than me. You should baptize me. The reason I say that is because that's the only conclusion I can come to if you erase the idea that it was because of Jesus' identity, which it couldn't have been because John admit he didn't know. He didn't know who the Messiah was until the Holy Spirit came down. He didn't know. And so when Jesus comes to the water and he meets John at the water and he says, "Hey, I need you to baptize me." And John says, "No, no, 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 no. You need to baptize me." And Jesus says, "Wait, wait. Allow it right now. Let's go ahead and do it. There's a reason for this." You know what the reason was? It revealed the righteous plan of God that wouldn't have been revealed. It revealed that Jesus was the Messiah. It revealed to John the Elijah, the forerunner, the one who came before the Messiah. It revealed to them just who the Messiah was because of how God said it was going to happen. It revealed Jesus' identity. Then right after that, if you look over in the passages surrounding the story of Jesus' baptism, you have John saying that there was going to be one who would come who was greater than him. You have him saying, just after that, "I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." And he admits the reason he knows that is because of the baptism. You have him making statements afterwards like, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He couldn't have said that before the baptism of Jesus, because he didn't know that he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Even God himself recognizes that Jesus is the superior, he is the greater, because he says there in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, in that story, that this is the Jesus, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And you have him saying that again multiple times through the ministry of Jesus. John understood his role. His role was to proclaim to the world who the Messiah was. And John was able to accomplish that because of the baptism of Jesus. So then Jesus goes on to say, "Permit it to fulfill all righteousness." Yeah, that's a hard statement to try to understand. Here's a couple of quotes about it. "By associating himself with John in this matter of baptism, Jesus is thinking of their respective offices. By accepting John's baptism, Jesus is in no sense obeying a law, a useless law in his case, and in no sense accepting grace and pardon, since he is indeed sinless. Jesus is choosing baptism by John as the right way by which to enter upon his great office, and he is doing this with a fine sense of propriety, including John as well as himself." The whole point of this baptism wasn't to accept grace. Jesus didn't need it. It wasn't to get repentance. Jesus didn't need to repent from anything. It was only to enter into the office God had designed him to fulfill, the Messiah. That's what it means to fulfill all righteousness. And so he convinces John, this is the right thing. We got to do this. You know, if a sinless man comes to me and he says, this is the right way to do it, and I'm not a sinless man, you know who I'm going to listen to? The sinless man. I'm going to trust him. Because he has so far in every aspect of his life known what is the right thing. And if he says this is the right thing, let's do it. And John does. It identifies this Messiah to John, the same Messiah that he was telling the Pharisees about, that there was one coming after him who was mightier than him because this one existed before him. Now, I find this interesting. If John knew Jesus, John knew Jesus was younger. Every single time as a kid that I got together with my cousins, we played the age game. Unfortunately, I was always at the bottom of the list, so I never got to choose anything. But it was always, who's older? Who's older is more authoritative when cousins get together. I'm pretty sure Jesus and John knew that Jesus was younger than John. But was he really? Not if he's the Messiah. And John knew that. John knew that this Messiah was an eternal being, that this Messiah was God, that this Messiah was Emmanuel, which means God with us. This Messiah was God on earth. He understood. That's really what the prophecy is picturing. Make straight the pathway for the Lord. You know, the image there, although they didn't have this image, but you could use a similar imagery if you go back to the prophecy there in Isaiah, that you are clearing the land, that you are leveling the land so that you can, that some being can come in, almost like a landing strip. That this other one, this greater one, he was going to come from heaven. John understood that based on the prophecy. It could just be that part of this is an identifier for the people. Now, I don't know how many of the people heard or understood when God spoke out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We're not told what the crowd reaction is so much. But it is interesting over in Psalm chapter 2. It says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask me, and I surely give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession.'" Could be that the statements God makes here where he says, "You are my son," would bring to memory those who knew the scriptures, that this is the one who's coming, who's going to have all nations, who's going to rule the earth. And when God says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased," they realize this is the one. This is the Messiah. So to fulfill all righteousness, John baptizes Jesus. A couple of lessons here real quick. Real quick. I find it amazing. And study this for yourself. Decide for yourself whether this understanding is right about this. But if I'm correct, Jesus was noticeably sinless. I can't imagine what that looks like. I can't imagine what it would be like to be around somebody who was so pure, so innocent, so perfect. But Jesus was that. Noticeably so. That God used this event, this baptism of Jesus, to show his pleasure in his son. There's not a father on earth who doesn't like bragging on his children. And there's not a grandparent who doesn't enjoy it more. God brags on his son a little bit here. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promises, and we've talked about that on many occasions. I do want to point this out. Jesus' baptism is not for repentance, and it's not for salvation, and therefore it has nothing to do with ours. I hear so many people appeal to Jesus' baptism either as proof that we should be baptized. Well, you should be baptized. Jesus was baptized. Stop that. It's not accurate. Jesus' baptism had nothing to do with your baptism. It was for different reasons. It brought about different results. That's not the way to talk about baptism. But also, we need to recognize Jesus being the sinless, awesome Messiah that he was, taught baptism. We don't have many of his teachings on baptism, but we do have this. Turn over with me to John. It says there at the beginning of chapter 4, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, and John was doing so many that they traveled out of Jerusalem to the Jordan River to question him. But Jesus was doing more, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were. When he heard that that word had gotten out, he left Judea and went back to Galilee." Jesus taught baptism. Jesus taught baptism for an entirely different reason than John. John's was for repentance. Jesus' is for remission. Because Jesus, being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, has the authority to take away your sin. Jesus wants you clean. And so the invitation today, right now, is be baptized in the name of Jesus. Be baptized for remission. Be baptized so that you can be clean. Be baptized so that you can belong to God. Be baptized so that you can be His. That's an option for you today. Maybe you're ready for that. Maybe you're not. Maybe you want to learn a little more. Maybe you want to dig a little deeper. We will sit down with you today and do so. Because we don't want the day to go by with you not fulfilling all righteousness, doing God's will. We want you to want to be baptized the same way John wanted to be baptized. John, you know, I wish that was our reaction. When Jesus, when we come into contact with Jesus, it, Lord, baptize me. We should want baptism the same way. It's a great opportunity Jesus gives us. It's a great opportunity He laid out for us that we might belong to Him and to His Father. We invite you to do so. If you need to get your life right and belong to God and have those sins washed away, not just in repentance, but in remission also in the name of Jesus Christ, please come forward and let us know as we stand and sing this song.